Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. He spent most of his life not knowing about the power of God. He's a Baptist minister. What changed that? Well, if you could pick one thing, Paul Cox, that changed your destiny, what was it?
I believe it was in 1991, after I'd been doing deliverances for 2 years. I was at a friend's house in La Jolla, and the power of God actually hit me in his home, threw me to the ground, and for about 2 hours, I had waves and waves of the glory of God coming over me. And I stood up out of that experience, forever changed. I remember that I was listening to worship music, and waves of God's glory would come over me.
But was there a catalyst that caused that to even happen?
You know, there wasn't. It was a sovereign act of God. I think he decided to pick on this little Baptist guy and just demonstrate his power.
Now, were you, since you didn't understand any of this, I imagine there was a degree of fear involved in what was happening?
You know what? It was so wonderful, though I didn't have any language for it until later. I knew that I liked it, and it was good. And so I just received it.
Now, you mentioned in 1989 you began getting insight in the arena of deliverance. How did this happen?
We had people had come to me during 1989, the summer, talking about demons and seeing demons and hearing demons in the church and at home. And so I thought, well, maybe I should do a series of sermons on spiritual warfare. So I prepared my sermon series, had done, I think, 3 sermons in September of 89, and a lady called on a Thursday night and said, "What you are talking about is my problem." And so I scheduled on October the 7th in 1989, 1 o'clock on a Saturday, to meet with her. An intercessor came in, and after praying with her for about 20 minutes, a demon started speaking out of her mouth. And then she had a memory of being molested at an early age, and the Lord set her free. And it was like someone sent a memo out saying, "If you want deliverance, come to the church." And people started coming, therapists started bringing their clients for prayer, and that's how it started.
What did you learn about deliverance that you didn't know before?
Well, that I could do it, first of all. I didn't even know that was a possibility. And over the next few months and years, the Lord taught me a new way of doing deliverance, apart from the classical method, which was confrontation. That was going back in the generations and finding generational roots. And we saw when we did that, that the Lord brought people into amazing freedom that I'd never seen before in my ministry.
Can we take one person and tell me what happened to that one person?
Yes, I had, I just think of someone, which is kind of strange, that I had worked with for many years. He was a elementary school principal, and he had been in counseling for literally years. We had a counseling center at the church, and after going through a deliverance, he said that his life was totally changed and that he was free from the suicidal thoughts, and he was also free from a perpetual habit he had of rolling paper into a spiral balls. And I realized that though we really support therapists and counselors, that counseling was not the final answer, that there were spiritual dynamics that need to take place to help people to be set free.
Now, I asked you what was the strongest gift that operated in your ministry today, and you said the gift of discernment. How would you start out by defining what that is?
Okay, Hebrews 5:14 says that by constant practice we train our senses to to discern good and evil. And in the Greek, that actually means the five physical senses. And so discernment is the use of the five physical senses, hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, and smelling, to determine what is going on in the spiritual world. And the ultimate purpose is to determine whether something is righteous or unrighteous. And so the Lord has taught me how to do that. He first taught me how to discern evil, demonic, and then he taught me how to discern angels, angels bringing messages, and then different kinds of spiritual beings like powers, seraphim, cherubim, elemental spirits.
Now, do you personally use all of your senses to discern?
My main discernment is tactile or feeling, though I have seen a couple of times. One time I actually saw a hawk, and I thought it was real, and I realized when it disappeared that it was in the spirit. I have heard my name spoken once. Another time we smelled a fire burning in the room, and we realized that it was spiritual. I have smelled fragrances. But again, my main discernment is through feeling. So I can feel on different parts of my head, different kinds of spiritual beings. I can tell when angels bring messages. I can tell if it's an angel of the Lord. I can tell whether...
What's the difference between an angel and the angel of the Lord as far as discernment?
Okay, the angel of the Lord feels to me like the furnace of the Lord. I actually feel fire coming up the feet of the angel. It's like a furnace, which is distinguished between pressure on my head when I feel angels. So there's surges of power coming on me now.
What about the flip side? What do you feel when there's something demonic?
Okay, I have on my head, on the left-hand backside, what I call a default evil. So when something is evil, I feel it there. And so if it's a demon, I feel it there. If it's an evil power, then I have a place in my head where I feel powers, but then that place that is my default evil also goes off, so then I know it's an unrighteous power. I can feel elders, and then I can tell they're unrighteous elders. And it's all in my head.
So what do you do when you go to speak in a church and the pastor introduces to a few of the elders and you know that they're unrighteous? What do you do with this kind of information?
Well, I have learned not to volunteer information unless people ask. And so I'll tell them up front, I will not volunteer anything that I am discerning unless you ask. So they ask, I'll tell them. And generally because they're receptive, then they'll deal with it.
Paul, I have your new book in my hand, Heaven Trek, subtitled Daring to Go Where God Wants Us to Go. Tell me about this book. Why did you write it?
The Lord has taken me on an amazing journey. I was an American Baptist youth pastor, then became an American Baptist pastor. And then in 1989, as I shared, after doing my first deliverance, the Lord then released on me the gift of discernment. And all of a sudden, where I had simply preached about the Bible, I started experiencing the Bible. And as a pastor, I preached through the book of Exodus, and it talked about the glory of God. Now, all of a sudden, I started experiencing the cherubim and started experiencing the glory of God and the power of God. And that began an experience of me experiencing heavenly places. So really, the book is about me understanding in a new way Ephesians 1 and 2, where it says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And I started realizing that the Lord wants us to experience these supernatural realms of heavenly places. And so the book is my journey and how that happens. So it starts with the glory of God and how I experienced the glory of God. And then the Lord started opening up experiences with a more rapid form of deliverance where people would walk through a furnace. He started opening up.
Through a spiritual furnace we're talking about.
Spiritual furnace, that's right.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful thing to go through, to get rid of everything evil. But the thing is, did God really direct you to write this book so people could be set free?
Not only did he direct me, I was told prophetically two or three times that I had to do it. One prophet actually said I was to take 13 days off and finish the book, and literally I'd be disobedient if I did not write the book. I had some concern because I realized the book was, for many Christians, very radical in concept, that we could experience God in this level. But I began realizing...
But it's... Wait a second now. It's radical according to religious Christianity, but it's not radical according to the Scriptures.
Oh, no. In fact, the word yada in the Old Testament, which means to know, actually means to know by the five physical senses, that the Lord God wants us to experience him and to experience the heavenly places.
Now, when you teach or when someone reads your book, do these senses start becoming more attuned to the supernatural and people begin to understand what's going on?
This is an amazing thing, Sid. When we do a seminar and training, almost immediately, I'd say 70-80% of people start feeling spiritual beings. We've had people say that they have read my material, or they have watched recordings, and what I talk about or what I write about, they actually start experiencing.
But, you know, it's one thing to experience it, but you have to understand what you're experiencing.
That's right, and that's the part where we try to teach. Remember in John 5, Jesus said he only did what the Father was doing, and I had always read that as a Baptist pastor, but did not know how to do that until I had the gift of discernment, that I could really understand that when certain spiritual beings showed up, I knew that God wanted to do something.
Paul, we're out of time. We're making the book available. It's called Heaven Trek, subtitled Daring to Go, Where God Wants Us to Go, available for a donation of $18. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.